God, open up our hearts and our minds right now. Help us grow as we go to your word that's alive, that's active, that man just does its work in our lives. And we say, come and do your work in our lives this morning. We want it. We want more of it, God. And we love it. And we love you. Be glorified even this morning as your word is spoken and as we receive it. Be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, the purposes of God often develop slowly because His grand designs are never hurried. God's not in a hurry. He has a plan. It's going to happen. There's a great New England preacher named Phillips Brooks. That's a cool name, isn't it? His name was Phillips Brooks. I don't know if he's related to Tim Brooks or not, our worship leader, but maybe so. So this guy, Phillips Brooks, he was noted for his poise and his quiet manner. Hey, Tim's kind of that way too, I guess. So his poise and quiet manner. At times, however, even he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" he asked. "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Haven't we all felt that? I'm in a hurry. I'm ready for it to happen. But you know what? God's not in a hurry. Waiting for God can be very hard. As we continue our series, Living the Evident Life, it's our study through the book of James. The apostle is going to be providing us with some encouragement as he was encouraging the church in that day that was waiting for God. Let's go to our text. We're in James 5, beginning in verse 7 this morning. James 5, beginning in verse 7. This is what God's word has to say to us today. Be patient. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, he continues, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven, nor by earth, or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, or you will be condemned." So we are waiting for God. We know that we're waiting for God to return to this earth. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to return to this earth, to bring the fullness of His kingdom, to make all things new. We're waiting for God to come back and walk among us, to reign and to rule, to make all things right. And that's truly the context of the passage of Scripture that we're reading this morning. Is patience, perseverance, and waiting for God to come back. And we wait. And I want to encourage everyone here to wait for God and to be patient in waiting, but to want Him to come back. I want to encourage everyone here to make part of your daily prayer life, "Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come today, but come back. Come back." Because as we wait for God, what else, what more exciting is there for us to wait for? What is there that's more exciting to expect than Jesus Christ to come and to put His feet back on this earth and to reign and rule and to make all things right? There's nothing more exciting about that. I don't care what you have planned for Thanksgiving. I love the wild rice casserole that I get to eat every Thanksgiving. I am looking forward to it, but I would rather have Jesus come back right now and not get the wild rice casserole on Thursday. There is nothing more exciting. There is nothing else that's worth waiting for in the light of Jesus returning. We want Him to come back. And I encourage everyone here to be crying out for that. We're called to do that. The church, the saints, we are made to be people who are crying out for Him to come back, to hasten His return. We talked about that at the beginning of the year when we went through the book of Revelation. So we are waiting for God to return to this earth. That's the context of chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. However, every day we wait for God to show up in the circumstances of our life. Every day we're waiting for God to show up in our relationships, in our finances, in our health. We're waiting for God to help us in our daily lives. We're waiting for God every day in every way because we're desperate for Him. Because we can't do it on our own. We know that we need Him because we know that we cannot do it on our own. We need Jesus today, tomorrow, every day. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him. Come on. Everyone, I know everyone, if you sit and honestly contemplate that, you know that you need Jesus in every area of your life at all times because you know how you've done it in the past on your own without Him, and you know how messed up it's become. Oh, every once in a while we may get lucky when we try to do it on our own and not totally mess things up. But we need Jesus. We need Him every day and in every way. But waiting for God is not easy. It's not. Some people get frustrated during the waiting. They end up giving up on God. They end up saying, I can't wait any longer for God. I got to take it into my own hands. I'm going to take the reins. I'm going to make it happen. I'm just going to make the decisions because I don't feel like I'm hearing from God. I'm going to plow forward. I'm going to push forward. And I'm going to get her done. And again, that usually doesn't work out so great. We talked, I think, a week or two ago about how King Saul did that. He just couldn't wait anymore for Samuel to make the offering. So, hey, I'm going to take it in my own hands. I'm going to do it. And it didn't work out so well for him. Waiting is hard, no doubt about it. But there's a right way to wait for God. A way that will prevent us from giving up. A way that will prevent failure from occurring. In his book, Sabbatical Journeys, Henry Nouwen writes about some friends of his who were trapeze artists. You know, they swinging on the flying trapeze with the greatest of ease. There's some kind of song about that. Anyway, his friends, they were called the Flying Rodellas. Kind of cool, huh? They told Nouwen that there's a special relationship between the flyer and the catcher of the trapeze. And this relationship is governed by a set of rules. And one of the most important rules, as you see on the screen, is that the flyer is the one who lets go, and the catcher is the one who catches. That's a rule in the trapeze world. If you're ever on a flying trapeze, remember that rule. So as the flyer swings on the trapeze high above the crowd, the moment comes when it's time for him to let go. He flings out his body in midair. I'd be scared to death, man. I don't know how they do that. I climb up a tree or something. I fell out of a tree when I was a kid, okay, about 20 feet out of a tree. And I hurt myself, obviously. And from that point on, I mean, I'm not a heights guy. I mean, I'll get to the edge, you know, and there's like a half wall or all the way up to my chest wall. And I'll just kind of look over a little bit and I'll just, whoa, the butterflies and everything come on me. So flying on a trapeze and letting go in midair, just, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like parachuting. I don't get it, man. I'll let everyone else do that, all right? I'm good right here on the ground, you know. I'll go up in the air when it's time to meet Jesus in the air, you know what I'm saying, and come down with him. That's when I'm going to be just fine going up in the air. But until then, I'll be doing no flying trapeze. But anyway, so they let go. Boom. That flyer's job after he lets go is to keep flying. It's his job. And to wait for the catcher to catch him. The flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer's job is to wait in absolute trust that the catcher will catch him. And so he flies and he waits. It's a lot like life, isn't it? We're flying, man. We've let go. We're flying. And since waiting is a part of life, how do we wait? More specifically, how do we wait for God? The Apostle James reminds us that we must do three things. The first thing that we're going to talk about, the first important ingredient to waiting, is that we must wait patiently. We must wait patiently. James uses that analogy of the farmer waiting patiently for the land to yield its valuable crop. Says he's got to wait. I mean, wouldn't it be foolish if the farmer was like, hey, it's not coming up. It's not coming up fast enough, so I've got to dig it up. No, that would be crazy. In fact, I was talking with Phil Klein Tuesday morning in the men's gathering. And we were chatting about this passage of Scripture. And he said, look, I've got some lettuce in my garden that I planted, and it's not coming up. And it's driving me crazy, and I'm getting very impatient about it. I said, well, hey, why don't you just dig around and see what's going on underneath the dirt? Wouldn't that really help things out a lot? So we laughed. And of course it wouldn't. That would be foolish. As soon as you do that, you're going to ruin the seed. You're going to ruin everything that's been happening, all the germinating that's been going on, if you start digging around because you get impatient. I'm not a green thumb, so I have no examples of that. Everything I've tried to plant just dies on its own. I don't do any digging or anything, and it's gone. But I do have one example of that. It was several years ago that I used to do a lot of woodworking. And I was making a bookcase, a kind of a bookshelf case for my house. And it was going to go in the family room. It was going to be beautiful. And I had done all the work. I'd done all the cutting, all the joining, all the sanding, everything. It was ready for finishing. Now, this was summertime, and I'm in my garage working. And I'm going to stain this, just this beautiful stain with this gel stain that I have. I like to use gel stains on the wood. I just like the way that it goes on and the way that it finishes off. And it was about 120 degrees in my garage that summer evening. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I really want to just get this thing done. I don't want to wait until things cool off. And I'm obviously not going to take it inside and asphyxiate my entire family with this stain. What should I do? Well, I had the brilliant idea that if I just work fast enough, that I can get this stain on beautifully. And I'm not going to wait. I'm going to get her done. I've come this far. I'm ready to have this thing finished and get it in my house. And so I went at it, man. I started putting stain on this piece of furniture. I mean, I had spent a week and a half building this thing. Board by board, cut by cut, joint by joint, putting this together. In about 6 minutes after I started putting that stain on, I realized I had made a big mistake. I didn't wait patiently, and it started gooping up and drying in clumps, and I couldn't control it, and it was going on messy, and I'm running inside. Oh, look what I've done. And I'm crying to my wife. Oh, come on here and look at this. What am I supposed to do about this? And I'm losing it, right? Because I couldn't wait. So Velvet said, hey, don't worry about it. You can do something else. You can paint it or something. Paint over the stain and all that. Well, that's what I ended up doing. And instead of being in the family room, it's now in one of the kids' rooms. It still works, and it's great, and it looks okay. But I couldn't wait. I just had to get it done. I had to see what it was going to finally look like. I didn't want to wait. I wasn't patient. James used that analogy again of that farmer. You got to be patient for your crop to come up. It is possible to fail in our waiting and get ahead of God. We can get ahead of God. You wait, nothing seems to happen, so you panic, you start to work things out on your own, you start trying to catch God instead of letting God catch you. And it just doesn't work. We also know that patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And to me that's very encouraging, because my flesh nature, as you heard the story from 10 and 12 years ago, is not one of patience. You know, my flesh doesn't really naturally have that patience, but one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And so as I continue to grow in the Spirit, as I continue to say yes to walking in the Spirit, and I continue to say no to walking in the flesh, and I continue to allow the Holy Spirit to fill me more and more and more, and I get more used to that, and I operate in the Spirit more and more, the more that happens, there is going to be fruit of patience in my life. So as I'm being sanctified, as I'm walking this out, as the Holy Spirit's becoming larger in me, and I'm allowing Him to flow in me and through me, patience is going to be one of the results of that. And so I say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for having a way of working that in us and through us. God's good. He helps us with growing in patience as we allow the Holy Spirit to be alive in our lives and walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It says in Romans 8, 22 through 25, that we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. I mean, there are times when I feel like I'm groaning. I do groan. Oh, God, please deliver me. Please help me in this situation. I need a break. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also, God's people, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. That's when we get our resurrected bodies. Again, that's that end time stuff. That's come, Lord Jesus. Come and return and let us get our resurrected bodies when all things are new. Oof. I'm ready for that. Especially after helping the Caldwells move yesterday, I ended up, after that big piano, I lifted a little bit too much with my back, and all of a sudden, oh, man! I'm ready for my resurrected body, man. For in this hope, we were saved. In this hope, we were saved. In this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. There is this synergy. There's this connection between patience and hope. Hope is essential for patience. For us to be patient, we have to understand hope, and we have to understand what our hope is in, and we have to know that our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in Him now, and our hope is in Him for all eternity. And as we continue to fix our eyes and our hope on Jesus Christ, our ability to remain patient and wait for Him will increase. There is a relationship between hope and patience. Is Jesus your hope today? Is He your hope? Is He your deep desire? Is He your great expectation? Focus on Him as you wait patiently for God to show up. Check out how King David waited in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. This is how King David waited. He says, I waited how? Patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently. Now, King David was in a big mess at this time. People were chasing him, trying to kill him. He was living in caves. He was running for his life. Yet, King David didn't say, I waited frantically. I fought on my own. I took it into my own hands. I made it happen. No, King David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then he says that he turned to me and he heard my cry. So as King David is waiting, what is he doing? He is crying out to God. He's praying. What did God do as a result of King David waiting patiently and him praying? It says that God lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mire and the mud. How many of you feel like you're in a slimy pit right now? Or you got one foot in the mud and the mire and you feel like you can't get it out? And when are you finally going to get that foot out and be able to run again? When are you going to be all cleaned up? When are things just going to be smooth sailing again? Wait patiently and pray. King David did. God heard. God responded to him. Not only did he get him out of the muck and the mire, but God actually set his feet on the rock and he gave him a firm place to stand as a result of waiting patiently and praying and giving it to God. Not panicking, but being patient and giving it to God. Being patient and trusting in God. And then he went in even further. Not only did God pull him out of the muck and the mire, not only did he put him on a firm place to stand, but he also put a new song in King David's mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. So we wait patiently for God, because God is good. God is good. Wait patiently for the Lord. Cry out to Him, trust in Him, and He will not disappoint you. Period. Amen. He won't. He'll never disappoint. So when we wait patiently for the Lord, we can also wait with great expectation. It's point number two. We can wait with great expectation because God will not disappoint. In His perfect timing and in His perfect manner, God shows up. It's good news. He's faithful. We talked about that. We sang about that this morning. We had prophetic words come forth this morning talking about the faithfulness of God. And so we can wait with expectation. We can wait expectantly because we know this truth. We've read it in His Word. We know it to be true. And in your heart of hearts and in your history, you can even see that God is faithful. He is faithful. And so as we wait patiently, we also wait expectantly. Because God is busy bringing about His full plan for the world and for us. He is. He's doing His thing. In His perfect timing, God will birth that plan in your life. He will do it. I've never been pregnant. Physically. But I suppose that an expectant mother sometimes thinks, is this baby ever going to come? Especially if it's past due a little bit. Is this baby ever going to come? But all you have to do in that ninth month is look at her. And you know that it is impossible for the baby not to come. It's going to happen. And so the waiting develops this great expectation in us. As the work of God, as the plans of God are growing in us, and that process is happening in us, and we're expanding as a result, and things are happening, and there begins to be evidence that God is doing something. He's doing something. Something's going to happen. And we know who God is, and we know that He's faithful, and we know that He's true, and we know that His plans are going to come to pass. So we begin to expect more and more and more this thing of God actually birthing and happening in our lives. So as we're waiting for that to happen, we wait expecting. When Jesus was delivered into this world, the world was enlarged with its waiting. It says in Galatians 4:4, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman. When the time had fully come, the birth of our Savior, the Messiah, took place. Before it was time, the birth of Christ would have been premature. That's what Galatians 4:4 is saying right there. But when the time came, nothing could hold Him back. Nothing. When it is time for Christ to return and walk on this earth, nothing will hold it back. Nothing that the kings and the rulers of this nation do or try to do will hold Jesus from returning. When the time has fully come, He will step on this earth and rule and reign and make all things new. Nothing will hold that back. And this is how it is in your life today. God is doing a work in your life. God is birthing something in you. He's at work in your life. Things are growing. Things in your life are becoming enlarged. He is working in you. And when it is time, when the time has fully come, that thing will be birthed. It will happen in God's perfect timing. Nouwen, who we read earlier, also said that waiting is a period of learning. The longer we wait, the more we hear about Him for whom we are waiting. Because we're waiting expectantly. And waiting is not a static state, because God is working behind the scenes. It's like, again, a pregnant mother. It's happening. There's no stopping. It's happening. That baby is growing. It's happening behind the scenes. It starts to become evident at some point. But it is happening. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Romans 8:24 says that waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. And so as this waiting is occurring, and as we know God is moving and He is creating things in us and He is enlarging us during this process of waiting, we wait expectantly, knowing that His plans and His purposes are going to be birthed in us and through us. So we're excited. We're not discouraged. We're excited because we know God is working in the process as we are waiting. But when we wait, we cannot wait aimlessly. We must wait faithfully. It's point number three. We got to wait patiently, number one. We need to wait expectantly with some excitement. In fact, when we were praying earlier in the pre-service prayer, there was one or two people that were praying about that, about how we need to be excited about what God is doing. Sometimes we get old, downcast is my soul, and oh, so somber and everything. We need to be excited because in the middle of everything that's going on in life, the good, the bad, the beautiful and the ugly, whatever it might be, God is at work. And so that reality must always be on the front of our minds that God is at work, and because He's at work, we can be excited. Because He's at work, we can have joy in the midst of trials and in troubles. And because we know that He's at work in developing something amazing in us that is going to be birthed in us and through us, we can wait expectantly and we can wait with excitement. Even if the world would say, whew, you should be depressed and you should be down. No, God is at work. And then it's in the fullness of time, at just the right time, we're going to all get to see it. And so number three, though, we wait faithfully. Patiently, expectantly, and faithfully. Faithful waiting means doing those things that we know God has already called us to do as we're waiting. We're all waiting for greater things. We're all waiting for the big things. Some of you may be waiting for God to call you into full-time ministry. Some of you may be waiting for God to release some kind of anointing on you to lay hands on people and see them healed miraculously. You've had a word that God is going to give you that gift, that He set it aside for you. So you're waiting for that to happen. Some of you are waiting for a husband or a wife or a family or a child that's on its way. You're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. As we wait, we're not supposed to just sit down and do nothing. For God has already called us to do certain things. He's called us to amazing works in our time even of waiting for the next greater and bigger thing. Sometimes I believe the church kind of has this mentality that, okay, we're waiting for Jesus to return and make all things new, so we're going to just sit down and we're going to wait for God to come and do His thing and walk on this earth again. But that's not what Jesus told us to do. In fact, we know a lot about what Jesus... Well, number one, if we look at the end of Matthew, he tells us that we're supposed to go make disciples, teaching them to obey all that he's commanded. So we're supposed to be about the business of sharing the gospel, discipling one another, encouraging one another, growing, maturing. Look throughout the Bible. Our time of waiting is a time of activity. It's a time of doing the things of God. Jesus told us to pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
He told us to be crying out for that, to be praying it. He told us that we would do the things that he did and even greater things after waiting for him to return. So we're to faithfully wait for God. And in that faithfulness, we're doing the things of God day in and day out. We're loving our neighbors. We're caring for widows and orphans. We're blessing others. We're praying for others. We're bringing righteousness. We're bringing the light of God. We're being the salt and the light in this earth day in and day out. We're growing in the things of God. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us and to use us. We're growing in the gifts of the Spirit as we eagerly desire them. We're waiting faithfully for God to come and do the next great thing, to birth that next thing. Apostle James was describing to the church, wait faithfully. Don't grumble against one another. Don't argue with one another. Don't get involved in this petty stuff, but be faithful in your waiting. Job is used as an example of somebody who waited faithfully for God to come and show up and make everything new again and to restore him. He waited faithfully. He didn't do what some of his friends, oh, just curse God and die. Just get on with things. No, I won't do that. I won't deny the Lord. I'm going to faithfully wait for God because I know who he is. George Matheson wrote these words: we commonly associate patience with lying down. We think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid. Yet there is a patience that I believe to be harder. The patience that can run. See, to lie down in a time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune, implies a great strength. But I know of something that implies a strength greater still. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart and still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirit and still perform the daily tasks. It is a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience not in the sick bed, but in the street. To wait is hard. To do it with good courage is harder. I'm going to have you stand up. And I want to conclude with a time of prayer. I want to pray over us as a congregation. I know that everyone in this room is waiting. We're all waiting as a church family for our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, to return. We're all waiting for that wonderful, glorious day. But I know that every one of us in here, we're waiting for God to show up in other areas of our lives. Those areas of our lives where things are not right, where things are not the way God intended them to be, but we're waiting for God to come and make them right. I'd like to pray over us right now. Lord, help us in our time of waiting for you. God, we declare once again, right now, with every fiber that's in us, God, that we know that you are faithful. You are faithful, God, and we can count on you. We know that you are good and you are true. And we put our entire trust in you. And we wait for you, God. And God, as we wait, even as King David waited, God, we pray right now. We cry out to you, God, and we say, help us in our waiting. Thank you for your grace that teaches us to live right, to live rightly right now, to say no to ungodliness and to come into agreement with godliness in our lives, God. And we cry out for your grace right now to flood us as your people and help us to wait patiently. Holy Spirit, come and fill us more and more, that that fruit that comes from you, that fruit of patience, would grow and become more and more evident.